Booze Gold is delivered to you via the Barroom Network, now in its seventh year of providing podcasts about Chicago sports, movies, and more. Make sure to subscribe to the Barroom Network for free and easy downloads of its programming, and visit its merchandising store at deepdishtees.com to purchase t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to Bulls Gold here on the Barroom Network. I am Edward Schuler, joined as always by Salim Sudwala. Salim, how are you doing today, man?
Ed, I am doing excellent. It's been a minute since we've gotten on. Just not a lot of free time on my schedule, unfortunately. But there's not been a lot changed for the Bulls, like as far as what's been happening. As a collective is concerned, still the same inconsistent madness. Like, you know, they lose a couple of games, they win a couple of games. I mean, people whenever they beat a good team, they're like, oh, this team is confusing. It's like, it really isn't. Like, bad teams beat good teams in the NBA. It happens. This is like the Hawks beat the Celtics back to back. It happens. That happens. No one's sitting there saying, like, what are the Hawks? They're so confusing. No. They're the Bulls are a mediocre team. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I shouldn't say they're bad. They're mediocre.
Yes, they're a mediocre team. Yeah.
And they're capable. They have, just like any other mediocre team, they're capable of beating a good team. It happens. And they're capable of losing to terrible teams. I mean, they lost to the Wizards. That were missing like everyone. So
they lost to the Wizards. Then they beat the Pacers. Then they lost to the Nets. Then they beat the Timberwolves. And then they lost to the Hawks. If that's not the Bulls season in a nutshell, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. They are who they are. I mean, they're not. It's not any surprise. It's not any like, you know, like. There's not like a switch for them to turn on anymore. Like, this is what happens when you don't make changes to the roster, the continuity thing. This is who you are.
Yeah.
Because you've tied yourself to this, basically. That's the front office has done. I mean, there's bright spots certainly with the roster but like even the improvements we've seen with Kobe and Ayo, and we'll talk about Ayo later, but there's regression from other parts of the roster. That's how it works when you don't make changes with and consistently have the right pieces around and whatever have you.
Yeah. They locked in the play-in.
Yeah.
They did that.
2 years in a row. I'm sure AK and Eversley are out there just fist pumping all over Advocate Center right now. They're just running and high fiving everyone, and they probably bought donuts for everyone in the morning because the plane got locked in. Man, they probably went to Dunkin' Donuts, got some sippy cups, sippy coffee, whatever it's called.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know,
yeah.
And they got the donuts with the sprinkles.
You gotta have, everyone, yeah, you gotta have the sprinkles.
You know, they celebrated. They celebrated, man.
You gotta have the sprinkles. I think we called it, and they would have locked in the play in regardless of whether they blew up the roster or they didn't. Trae Young is out in Atlanta. Brooklyn stinks. Who else is behind Brooklyn? Toronto stinks. Charlotte stinks. Washington stinks. Yeah. And then there's Detroit. They would have made the playoffs. It really doesn't matter who they had. They could have traded DeMar. They could have traded Caruso. They could have traded Zach. They could have traded Vooch and got whatever combination of young players and journeyman veterans, and they would be in the playoffs right now. So nothing has changed about the Bulls' outlook. But I do think, and we you know, you mentioned Ayo. We talked about him a few shows back, and he had that stretch while we were out with where Kobe was out. And, man, Ayo looked great for like a few games, man. Like operating almost as like a lead guard. Ayo looked fantastic, man. And I don't know, man. I'm still on the boat where with Ayo, I know he's got a very high floor as a complimentary talent. But part of me thinks that he can be a lot more. Like there's another step to Ayo's game. So what do you think about what Ayo did when Kobe was out and how he really just performed overall? I mean, he was doing it on both ends of the court. His 3-point shot looks good, getting to the rim, playing like a beast in transition, man. He just looks solid overall. But what were your thoughts on what Ayo did?
So before I get into this, I just want to it's not just since, like, obviously he had big games when Kobe was out, but since January, so Ayo's been averaging since January 15 points per game, 3 rebounds, 4.1 assists,
right,
on shooting splits of 51% from the field, 42% from three, and 86% from the free throw line on 62% true shooting percentage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been balling, and obviously he's not getting the attention and credit he deserves. And maybe I've been one of them, because I know I kind of in the last episode said I'm not ready to say he's going to be more than a high level role player, and certainly that he could still be that. I'm not ready to say, like, you know, he could be a borderline all-star, because it's tough to just go there unless you've seen a entire season. Like, I feel like Kobe's showing us a lot more until he ran out of gas here because of the injuries and this heavy minutes.
Yeah.
He's been laboring. I feel like Kobe's shown us more where you can think, okay, well, yeah, maybe he could be an all-star. He's playing fantastic. Like I said, you know, he's and that contract again, 3 years, $21 million. It's bargain. An absolute steal.
A bargain, man.
A lot of, like, the reason nobody's realizing how well he's playing is because the Bulls, no one pays attention to Bulls. Like, national people, they don't care about the Bulls. They're not watching the Bulls. The Bulls aren't an interesting team for them. Even the people that really, like, watch a lot of basketball, yeah, they tune in and out. Maybe someone like Nekias Duncan on the national level, he might notice Ayo, and I think he's talked about Ayo.
Right, right.
But for the most part, like, you don't really get the Io's not getting the credit for the really top-notch basketball he's playing. So, yeah, a lot of credit to him for the work he's put in. And like I said, he's been him and Kobe, and obviously Kobe, we've talked about, he's tailored off, but he's been one of the bright spots in this just long, dull season.
Yeah, and his improvement is just fantastic to me, man. And he's been putting in the work, and he's still only 24 years old. So I agree with you. I'm not – when I think of saying that – Ayo is going to take another jump, it's not necessarily that I think he's going to be an all-star, but I think he could just be a very, very solid starter and just a very high-end, I think high-end complementary talent, like high-end glue guy, I think is another jump where he could get to maybe 16 or 17 a game, I think, and still shoot the ball well and, you know, get his playmaking up even more as well. And it continues to advance as a shot creator. I think him and Kobe White, I mean, I think that at some point there is going to be a discussion about if these two can be a long-term backcourt for this team going forward. It may not be the ideal scenario when you think about it, but they've shown us a lot of good flashes overall, man. And they're both locked in for the next 2 years on some really cheap deals relative to their production. So, I mean, this, you got to give, even though we criticize the front office for a lack of vision and a lack of moves, these two contracts that they made or that they gave out to Ayo and Kobe have proven to just be great deals. And even more so when you think about the fact that at one point Kobe could have been out. At one point they could have let Ayo go, but they kept both, and they're on the right side of young players developing for once.
Yeah. I mean, And like you said, not a star, but you think maybe Iowa can get to Derek White?
Yeah, yeah, no, for like, sure. Like Derek White, like some said like a Drew.
It's tough to see like those guys though. Like so, like I feel like Derek White was a legit all star level player this year, and maybe I'm trying to like, but obviously in the past he's just been a really good, like you said, a starting level, like really good two way starting player. Drew Holiday, I wouldn't go that far because I think Drew Holiday has been very underrated his entire career. He arguably should be like a multi time all star. Like, you know, he's probably been one of the best or one of the best perimeter defenders, like point of attack defenders in the league for like the last 10 years. Like, but he's just been underrated and not really, you know, looked at as such. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like I said, I thought about Derek White just because, like, this season has been a little bit different for Derek White. But overall, like, that type of caliber player where you could start and be a really effective player, I mean, that's probably what Iowa's ceiling is.
You think Drew Holiday would be peak outcome, maybe?
That would be a dream outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a dream outcome.
Yeah, very rosy Bulls colored sunglasses. Very rosy outcome. Even if he was 70% of Drew Holiday, I think that would still be a win. But around, if we're talking about something in between a Derek White and a Drew Holiday, I think that's a very solid outcome overall, especially on the contract that you have too as well. So, yeah, I'm just really happy for Iowa. He's been playing really good basketball for a long time. And like you said, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And I think that he could be in the mix next year if we're talking most improved player next year. I mean, Kobe White obviously is heavily in the mix this year, but I don't think he's going to get it. I think Maxey's probably going to get it. But I could definitely see him in the mix next year. I think there really is going to be another jump that we'll see.
No, for sure. That would be fantastic to watch. Like Kobe picks up from, you know, where he's kind of left off in a sense and starts playing that well again, and then Iowa comes in and kind of just gets a stranglehold of that starting position from AC. That would be the ideal outcome for the Bulls for sure.
So you mentioned the fact that Kobe coming back from injury recently, that he's burned out. DeMar has been bless DeMar, man.
Yeah.
DeMar at 34 doing whatever he can to make sure that this team can win games. He's played in 74 games this season and he's averaging 37.6 minutes a game at age 34, man.
Those are like early 2000, late 90s numbers, minutes. Guys grinding,
man,
out these heavy minutes.
He's such a because it's so easy. It would be so easy to check out on a team like this, but the fact that DeMar is still playing 100%, you never question his effort. You never question his leadership, his demeanor. The fact that he's still the same player, it shouldn't be like understated what he's doing for this team. And I can, even though I don't agree with, you know, we both don't agree with keeping these veterans at the trade deadline, I at least see why they love him and didn't want him out the building, because he really is just like a great leader for this team. But when you think about the minutes that all of these guys have been playing with this short rotation and so many injuries and with the playing tournament coming up, what are your thoughts on how they should proceed with these next six games? They're not really playing for anything because they're locked in. So is this a time to scale back the minutes? Can they even scale back the minutes of these players realistically with such a tight rotation? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, technically for now they're playing for the 9th seed, and home court for that first playing game. But I do wonder, like, I do kind of want to play like the devil's advocate, if you will, and be like, listen, like you said, they are locked into the play-in. Like, they're not going to miss the play-in at this point. You have guys like Kobe like laboring. You have DeMar on heavy minutes, and you kind of see him kind of laboring at times too, like kind of running a little bit out of fumes late because he can't do everything by himself. You see, you have these guys that are kind of working their way back, you know. So, like, I think it makes sense to try to start resting guys and trying to limit minutes at the very least, and try to get these guys fresh. And maybe you want to keep them going for a little bit, and then maybe the final game or two, you can kind of just sit them and let them really, really rest up and get some get that, you know, energy back in. Like Kobe, I don't know how his hip is doing still. I know, like, I feel like at times I still see him like maybe it's bothering him, but I don't know. I mean, he's not going to use that as an excuse.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely benefits to it. Like if their goal is to get out of this, play-in and secure that eighth seed, I think there is a lot of benefits into not going into the play-in, playing in fumes, essentially.
Yeah.
Not to play on words, but the play-in to play in fumes, you know? That would be tough, especially, like I said, you know, they had a loss to Atlanta at home. So it's not like home court isn't that important against them. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're capable of losing either way. So,
yeah, I agree. I think we were just talking about minutes, and you look at this Atlanta game where Atlanta was pretty much in control for the majority of the game. And this is how the rotation broke down. So Kobe played 39, DeMar played 39, Io played 35, Caruso played 33. Vooch played 31. Drummond played 20. Craig played 12. And then after that, you just have an assortment of, you know, young players and whatever playing less than 10 minutes. So effectively, you're playing a 7-man rotation. Effectively, they don't have anything else. So it's just, I don't know how it's such a. I don't even know what you do. Like, is this team even capable of resting guys? Like, who plays if they rest somebody? I don't know. I would love to rest somebody, but I just don't know who plays, man. And by the time they get to the play-in, they're just going to be, DeMar's going to give it his all, but man, they have just, it's just so many injuries, man. And you've been playing a 7-man rotation for how long now?
right. It makes you want to think about that there's a lot of benefits to possibly really just having a seat and saying, you know what, let these guys refuel, recharge.
Yeah. And I think I hate going back to the trade deadline, but it really just makes you, again, question why they didn't try to bring somebody in to add some depth here. Because if the goal was to be competitive and to make the play-in and make sure that you can get the best spot possible in the play-in, why not go out and get somebody that you can strengthen your bench with? I don't know. It just feels like they really just kind of sat on their hands with this, but yeah, it's looking kind of rough for them down the stretch to maintain all of this. So with this remaining schedule, they have the Knicks on Friday, Orlando on Sunday after that, then the Knicks again, then the Pistons, the Wizards, and then the Knicks again. So interesting schedule where they play the Knicks three times in their last six games. I don't know how that worked out, but yeah, that's the rest of their season, and then after that they get ready for the play-in. So I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they got tough teams coming in here. So I just, you know, they're capable of beating these tough teams. They got the Knicks Three times.
Yeah, three times. Yeah, I don't know how that. I don't know how that happened.
They got the magic. They got the magic still.
Detroit has been playing that, a little bit better basketball. A little
like Detroit and the Wizards are the softies, but they've lost to both those teams this season. So I think it makes sense. I just think it makes sense to slow down and try to rest up and get your energy back. But I mean, they're not going to. Like DeMar is already talking about how he doesn't want to rest. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess obviously if Billy kind of comes in and says, no, you're not playing, he's not, there's nothing like he can do about that. But I just think it definitely makes sense for them to kind of regroup and get more energy going into that play-in tournament.
So what are your, I know we talked about it before, but what are your expectations? Well, not expectations, but right now, what do you think is going to happen in the play-in? Do you think the Bulls are going to, do you think that they have enough to actually win and make the playoffs? Or do you think that the minutes are just going to catch up with them and they're going to fold?
No, I don't think they have enough. I can't see them. If they're, like, I can see them beating Atlanta, but we'll see what happens with Miami and Philly here, but I don't see them beating either of those teams.
And Philly just got Embiid back, man.
Yeah, and I mean, Embiid is probably – I mean, imagine Embiid, you know, coming in and that play-in, and the Bulls have essentially only – they've only lost to him beat him twice.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah – If they're playing Philly, there's no shot they're beating them, and I just like I don't trust going up against Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy and that game either. So no, yeah. I think at the best outcome I see is a similar outcome that we saw last year, where they won one game and then they lost the second one, and then they went home and they got a lottery pick.
Yeah, same. It's a bad break, man. Embiid coming back. Right before, I mean, we knew Embiid was going to come back, but Embiid coming back is just a really bad break for the Bulls because, you, like you said, beating them on their home floor, beating one of these two teams on their home floor in pretty much a win or die situation, it's a lot to ask for, especially Coach Spo in April. it's really a lot to ask for. So yeah, like you, I don't really have much expectations here, but hopefully they play an entertaining game. Hopefully it's some more valuable experience for Kobe and Ayo to get in these games, but it's looking kind of dark. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So, what else have we got on the docket here? So, we've already talked about these last six games. So the Bulls are at 36-40. So I think we're probably going to be spot on with our prediction at, what were we saying, like 40-42, maybe 39-43. I don't know. 500 is not happening. But
no, 100%. Yeah. Both of us guessed that it would be around like that 38. Between 38 to 40 wins, and that's what they're probably going to finish at. I guess if the people that are bet the over on the Bulls are praying for these next like three wins, because I think it was 37.5 wins, right? I think where they at 30,
they're
35-6 right now.
Yes,
so they need two more wins,
yeah,
to get that over for a lot of the people that put some money down on the Bulls taking the over, because we all were talking about how there was a no-brainer that they're going to win more than 37.5 games, like 37, 38 games. So
they're going to be slogging to get it. I mean, I guess you could say at bare minimum, maybe Detroit and Washington are those two wins. But like you said, there's nothing guaranteed here because they have lost to both teams, and they've lost to Detroit twice. So who knows? Right. They could.
Yeah, and we'll see if maybe some of these other teams rest too. Like maybe the Knicks eventually rest that final game.
Yeah,
and
well,
the Bulls are still trying to win games because that's just what the Bulls do, win meaningless games.
Well, the Knicks in Orlando might keep playing because They're real tight, and that's going to determine home court for the first round.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Yeah, so they might. That's true too. Yeah, so the Knicks might be whooping our ass for for three games to make sure that they can get home court, and then Orlando's got. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bad break all around. But hey, we're in the play-in tournament, and I guess the front office got what they wanted. So yeah, let's wrap this up, man. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, man?
No, man. Just I'm hoping. That we see nobody get hurt before the season's over. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. We'll talk about the playoffs at some point, or maybe in the next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just hopefully people can stay healthy and hey, let's see if they can somehow beat the odds and get one of these, finish strong and get one of these last play-in spots, or not the play-in spots, but the last, playoff spots, one of these last playoff spots.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a fun postseason, even with the Bulls not really playing a part in it. I think the Western Conference seems very wide open, the Eastern Conference a little bit more predictable, but there will still be some pretty good matchups overall. It sucks that the draft is not very stacked this year, but I also think that presents an opportunity for the Bulls to be able to find similar value at their pick as teams in front of them. So that could be something to look forward to, because this feels like a very, very much like a my guy type of draft that we've seen in the past, where some stars can really come out of nowhere. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But that concludes today's Bulls Gold. As always, you can catch our past shows wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Spotify, and right here on the Barroom Network. For Salim Sudwala, I'm Edward Schuler. This has been Bulls Gold, and we will catch you next time, Bulls fans.